of winners. And all of us, we were crossing our fingers watching the Springboks. So we are hoping that we are going to embrace the mood and uphold it throughout the meeting, because we are just happy people in our country, with the Springboks being 4 times World Cup winners, history in the making. So as they land in Johannesburg, we saw the highlights that masses of this country are there. And sports is one thing that unites us. And some did not believe it when Mandela said this decades ago, that only through sports where we can unite our country. And at that point, you wish that there is no multi-party system in South Africa, so that we can just move in unison with one green and gold at the helm of government. But yeah, we adopted the constitution and passed it. Otherwise, that unity is what we need to confront some of the challenges which we are faced with as a country now, not as a certain section of the country. When I perused the emails, I saw that the 2 attachments on the report of South African tourism, and I realized that the other one is a summary and a page for leading by example. Now we have a summary from South African tourism. So I would urge that you present the summary, because the summary is detailed. And then the other document, which is a presentation, will serve as a supporting document, something that we've been saying. But it is now implemented. We are happy with that. It's a sign of progress. The minister jokingly said that you must account on a number of things and you must answer. I'm sure she spotted some, you know, issues to be answered to the portfolio committee. And I received your letter, Minister, as I'm sitting here, on the explanation of a suspension of a certain employee of South African tourism. And the secretary received the letter on Saturday, but he is saying that he had technical problems. But I've since circulated that to all honorable members, because in the last meeting we requested that we are finished with a detailed response on the suspension, and that has been done and it is commendable. So before our presentation, I think the minister must take us through so that there is no dilution of things, because when you are responding to the presentation and then you element of a suspended person, it will change the mode of the meeting. So I think you need to start with that before the presentation. We are going to allow the secretary of the portfolio committee to present the apologies in the meeting. But as I was perusing, I saw a number of issues and were hoping that we will be able to get responses. And I must also say that as the World Cup was concluding, we did not see the Visit South Africa logo, whatever that they were doing there when they were playing rugby. We are not sure if we are going to have visitors as it was a part of the marketing strategy. We don't know what happened to that particular issue there in France, because we are not in France, some of us. And the visibility of South African tourism minister, it was less or none compared to the World Netball Cup. noticed that disjuncture because during the Netball Cup, you were so aligned with South African tourism, such that you had a role to play there, even if it was minimal, but you had a role to play, and you had a role to showcase our country. Perhaps it's because it was a home ground advantage. I don't know, but that marketing is what we needed in France, where it matters the most, because the France situation, it was like people are here in FNB Stadium, because South Africans were there in numbers. So that visibility is what we needed. But then, yeah, I'm going to allow our secretary to present their apologies. You are all welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I've got apologies from the Deputy Minister. He is engaged in Mpumalanga with some work. From the committee, I've received an apology from Honorable Keko. She is attending another committee meeting. There is also an apology from Honorable April, who is also attending another committee. From the board, we've got an apology from Mr. Ndambo. The other is an extending apology of Mrs. Zam from the board. These are the apologies that I have to them.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the honourable members. Let me start with the first point about the suspension, Chairperson. After I received a request from the committee to give the committee a report, I requested, I sent the request to the board, and I requested the board to prepare a response for the committee. As committee members know that as the Department of Tourism, we are not directly involved in the labor relations issues. So the response presenting to the committee was completed by the board. And if I may, Chairperson, through you, ask the board to do the presentation or to take us through the allegations contained in the DC. If you want me to proceed, I can simply then just read to the committee what the board has reported to me. So we need your guidance.
Mr. Timaris is here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, over to you.
Thanks, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity. Can I also just say, in terms of the apologies, we did note in the letter that I need to leave the meeting at 11:30 because of a work commitment, so apologies in advance for that. And thank you for noting the apologies of our colleagues, Roshan and I, here to represent the board. So as we set out in the letter to the minister, which was conveyed to you, when we came in to the organization, there was a significant backlog of whistleblower complaints. One of them, or several of them, included allegations of misconduct against the Chief Digital Transformation and Technology Officer and Acting CSO. That included things like unlawful conduct of improperly accessing employees' emails, etc. And as you know, we asked the Special Investigating Unit to assist with these investigations, so they were seconded into the organization. And given the role of the Chief Digital Transformation and Technology Officer and the function of managing the IT systems and the server, the board took a decision that there should be a precautionary suspension. We reviewed the disciplinary policy of South African Tourism that sets out how such a suspension should take place, and we are in line with the policy. We also have taken legal advice on whether the suspension is in line with labor law, and it is, based on the reasonable belief in the allegations in the whistleblower reports that serious misconduct could have taken place. We also note that the employee has been suspended on full pay, so the prejudice to that extent has been mitigated in line with good labor practice. The individual concerned was afforded an opportunity to make representations prior to suspension, even though that our advice is that isn't a obligation in terms of labor law. That was done. The board's intention is not that the suspension is punitive or that it should be unduly long. Essentially, once we have a full view of the SIU's findings, then we will be able to proceed, and that should happen in the next few weeks. By the time it happens, the total suspension should be less than 3 months in duration, so we believe that that's not unduly long, and hopefully by the time we come back to this committee, we will have resolution one way or the other. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Do you want to add anything?
No, Chair.
Is there anyone wants a bite on the matter so that we close it? Honorable Mato.
No, Lord Chair. No, thanks. I heard the matter, and one cannot say much into it because the investigations are still taking place. But what I want to bring into this house is that when Mr. Tim Harris was appointed by the minister to take care of the business of the board, one of the things that we, as the committee, things that were put in the committee, Minister, if you can remember, is that there were emails that Mr. Tim Harris wrote to a certain Ms. Bronwyn to influence the support of SAT to that surfing event of Mr. Tim Harris' friends. And now when Mr. Tim Harris went in as the chairperson of the board, we have someone who is being suspended for accessing employees' emails. So I just want us to get it at that level, that there was an issue of emails when Mr. Tim Harris entered, and immediately when he entered, someone is being suspended for accessing employees' emails. So I don't know if the way I'm looking at it, it's like Mr. Tim Harris, there's some form of witch hunt for someone who accessed those emails. But let's allow the process to unfold. We can't discuss the evidence here and everything because the process is still unfolding. Thank you, Chair.
We are going to leave it there. With all that is said, we will allow the processes to unfold because it is clear that the matter is sub judice, The more we speak on it, perhaps it might jeopardize the processes. I'm going to allow a minister to guide us on who is presenting the report today.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I agree with your approach that we should go for the summary or the overview of quarter one for the 23-24 financial year. And I've not discussed with the board who's going to present. You or Nomarelo? Oh, you can introduce it. Okay. That's fine, that is you. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. So we have a full team here, as I said. Veshli and I are representing the board, and I will hand over to Nomalelo, the acting CEO, although I know she wants to use members of her team who are better placed to go through the detail on the presentation, so I'll leave that to her to make the call with your permission. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Minister, Board Members and DG. We're going to go through the presentation. I'll take the financial management and who's going to assist with the summary of performance for quarter one. That is acceptable, Chair.
Is there who is going to do it?
The Chief of Management Officer.
Okay, continue. I'm not sure if Honourable Members want to change the resolution now. and then if honourable members want to change the resolution now, they must also advise point 8. That resolution must be changed because we will be doing exactly what we said. We must be avoided in the spirit of good governance and accountability in this particular edit. So what they take for reviewing that, that decision. And this Yabali Yaprima situation is not going to assist. Yabali Yaprima. But then the jail court, honorable members. Honorable Matum.
No, thanks, Chair. If then it's the resolution of the committee, but then the resolution should have at least extended to the working, because if there is checks and balances, in this, it will be a window dressing checks and balances, because in reality, the CEO is the CFO. So if we are to separate them to appreciate in presentation that if she is to present both, there's no checks and balances. But in implementation, there is no that checks and balances. Then it's something else. But if then it's the resolution of the committee, I think I will have to stick by the resolution of the committee. But then it is just showing us that in the entity, then there's no checks and balances, because the transition is that the CEO must account. Now we are going to be asking questions to account, which it's unfortunate. I mean, even us as politicians on the other side, if it was to be done to us that you are not a CEO, but you present as CEO and take fire as the CEO, it was going to be the most painful thing. Whereas if you are removed from the position, but you are made to present when you go to the people, it was going to be painful. We're not going to take that if it was to be done to us. Thank you, Chair.
I think in one of the meetings, if I may remind honourable members, the minister did mention that from the first meeting when we raised this issue, she wrote to the board to say that the matter must be corrected. We hope that when they come back, that issue would have been resolved. I don't know what the board did with that, because the minister did not have a detail of or their response to what she wrote to the board on this matter of separation of powers in the entity. I'm not sure, Minister, if you want to say something.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I am two parallel processes. The one is that I am checking on the board regularly to finalize the appointment of a CEO, because the process has started, the shortlisting, because that ultimately is going to be our solution. Secondly, I'm also running the process of appointing, finalizing the process of a permanent board. And I did advise the committee that we're targeting the end of November to have, and I have spoken also to the board, that the full CEO must be on board by the end of November, no later. So I'm checking regularly. Yes, Chairperson, under the circumstances of reporting, the report that we are presenting to the committee today, the report is owned by both the Department of Tourism and SAT, the content that is in the report, because the department has got oversight over SAT. The members of the committee has got oversight over all of us. So I agree with you that it is not a desirable situation to have the CFO also acting as the CEO. But I want you to beg for the indulgence of the committee that we proceed under the circumstances, and that but when we come back to report on the second quarter performance, we will not have the same situation again. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. May we proceed? Hoping that next time that would have been resolved, that you are the same Minister. Can we proceed?
Good morning, Member. Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Minister. I will start the presentation by painting a picture in terms of the environmental analysis. And here we will talk in detail about the performance at an umbrella level. What we have noticed is that 2023 has shown a strong start from a tourism point of view, and particularly global tourist arrivals that have really surged by 144%. Within that, in terms of the arrivals, Africa continues to account for the lion's share, accounting during this period for 75% of tourist arrivals that total 2.6 million visitors. Europe followed closely with a 16% share, and this reflects the continued prominence of African tourists and substantial European presence in the international tourism. In terms of total foreign direct spend, TFDS, and in the quarter, we note a 144% increase, and we reached 25.3 billion compared to the same period in 2022. Europe contributed the highest amount of 10.8 billion, and Africa followed with 9.3 billion. You can note the flip side of this when we talk the spend versus when we talk arrival. This underscores the significant economic impact of the African visitor destination, but the importance of the European market from a spend point of view. Between January and May, we saw domestic overnight trips exceed pre-pandemic levels, as well as levels of the first 5 months of 2022 by 28%. Cumulatively, overnight domestic spend increased by 22% compared to last year, indicating a significant rise in spending in terms of the domestic trips. So the increase of 22% is that of a spend. In terms of average overnight spend, we can see that also there is a good increase. South Africans have embarked on more frequent trips and spend more during each excursion. In terms of the nights spent away from home, this reached 52.2 million. Which was an 18% increase from 2022, demonstrating a growing trend of people spending more nights away from home in line with the tourism definition. The average length of stay per trip for the domestic market decreased by 8%, reflecting the global trend of travelers preferring shorter and more frequent trips compared to long ones. In terms of the quarter one performance, the summary will be as follows. In terms of quarter one, we had 50 planned targets for staff in tourism. We achieved 37 targets, accounting to a 74% in terms of achievement. I'm not going to go into the details. If I go to the overview in terms of the program summarizing, as it's been agreed, in terms of quarter one, corporate support, this is program one. We implemented the three recommendations arising from the risk management maturity assessment report, including the review of the operational risk registers, linking the key risk indicators to the operational risk registers and assigning risk to the owner, the risk owner. We also implemented the quarter one milestone in corporate compliance campaigns, including the development of the OPCA audit implementation plan, the establishment of the project steering committee, and the inaugural project steering committee meeting of the same OPCA. As we have submitted to the committee, Operation Clean Audits of OPCA's objective is to ensure that the internal control environment is effective, efficient, and conducive to the entity obtaining favorable audit outcomes, which could result in improved productivity and the clean audits, and we've targeted ourselves within 24 months. We've implemented 26% of the valid audit recommendations, exceeding the planned target of 25%. Within this program also, we paid 100% of compliant invoices within the 30 days from date of receipt. We implemented initiatives to promote integrity and ethics in SPM, including letters confirming budget allocation and related accountability issued to business unit managers, capability building for procurement committees, and created awareness organization-wide on the SCM code of conduct. Budget optimization strategy was not developed as planned, as the approach and the scope of work for this project was revised. Mitigating measures will be implemented in the future quarters to achieve the annual planned target. An action plan was developed to address issues arising from the prior staff engagement and assessment to improve levels of staff satisfaction. The committee will remember that this is an area that we've battled in the past, but this year we managed to have the action plan immediately after the survey was conducted. In terms of the employment equity targets, South African Tourism achieved 65% women against a target of 60%. 44% of women in senior and top management positions in SA Tourism was achieved against a target of 50%. 0% in terms of people with disabilities are employed at SAT, against a target of 2%, and at least 75% black people, being African, colored, and Indians across all occupational levels, against a target of 60%. The challenge with regards to women in senior and top management positions in SAT has been the moratorium that was in place during the third quarter and an increase in resignation that we saw in quarter one. In terms of people with disabilities, the challenge remains being that of disclosure, which is voluntary, as we have briefed the committee before. Against a target of less than 8% labor turnover, as a percentage of average headcount, the target was achieved at 3%. And however, the business unit did not comply with the reporting requirements, which led to the underperformance. This has been corrected in quarter two. The quarterly targets in terms of vacancies, percentage of staff establishment was not achieved with a performance rating of 14%. Our target is to be less than 8%. So we are sitting with a vacancy rate of 14% in quarter one, which was due to the moratorium. Performance results for the implementation of quarter one deliverables of the financial year roadmap of the ICT governance framework was not achieved due to the partial approval of the roadmap. This has further been corrected now in quarter two. If we move to a summary for the program two, which is called Business Enablement, following can be noted, two of the eight planned quarter one milestones as per the year two roadmap of the integrated digital and analytics operating framework were recorded. The challenge in this regard was that the performance could not be verified, but we've since corrected that in quarter two. The departure survey field work report and the domestic tourism survey field work report were not produced on time as planned. Additional training was now provided to the business unit to ensure optimal performance in quarter two. The quarterly trend analysis planned for this quarter was not published as planned. This has further been corrected through additional training and provided to the business unit. And there will be an improvement in quarter two as well. 25 thought leadership pieces were published against the target of two to showcase data on 24 marketing prioritization and investment markets, which was an emerging operational requirement. One tourism statistics and performance report was produced as planned. The improvement plan based on the financial year 2022-23 of the Southern Tourism Corporate Brand Index was developed. The quarter one improvement actions arising from the Corporate Brand Index were not implemented due to the clashing dates with stakeholders. Members will know that the Corporate Index has got to do with external stakeholders and sometimes dates as due killers. And more preparatory time was required for the planned initiatives. But we have since corrected this in quarter two. The best company to work for, survey or equivalent, as we have stated in the ATP about the tourism, to determine organization's baseline rating was not undertaken due to lack of capacity in the business unit. We are exploring the FCCs to help us to increase the capacity, FCCs being the fixed term contract. The global PR and communications annual plan was developed and approved. Achievement may be attributed to effective business partnering within the entity, which has really helped us in the PR space. Quarter one milestones of the global PR and comms plan were implemented and again attributed to the improved collaboration with the stakeholders. In terms of program three, this is the leisure marketing and the key part of the organization. The global tourism brand campaign plan was finalized, quarter one. The primary focus of the campaign was to sell the destination globally. The campaign was using the interesting stories, spending exceptional people, places and ways to deliver the message of South Africa as an exceptional destination. Live Again to Cognos was launched at the Africa Travel Gala in May. Tania's planning and project management led to the achievement of this target. Two global tourism campaigns were localized in South Africa, including the 30 Years of Freedom campaign through the celebration of Hugh Masekela's lifetime achievement and the Indaba brand experience that curated through a 360-degree dome to showcase South Africa as an exceptional destination for both business and leisure travel destinations. Two global brand collaborations and partnerships were secured, which included an MOU with the industry partners called SATSA, Rugby and Tourism Services Association. This was done to strengthen relations between the public and private sector, and brand ambassador agreement was also signed with the Siyafelisi. Based on the global tourism brand campaign, the annual localized campaign concept and implementation plan for each hub was developed, except for Asia, Australia region. This region did not achieve the targets due to non-compliance with reporting requirements, and this was mainly due to capacity issues. This region did not have a regional head for a foreseeable period, and the hub head had also left the market during quarter one, so we were left with literally no people in that region. We have since corrected that. Just before the moratorium, we were able to finalize the process of getting a regional head for that region, and we continue to look for solutions to work with the existing capacity to achieve the targets that are there. The annual African localized campaign concept and implementation plan was developed. The objective of this campaign is to position South Africa as a friendly and welcoming destination that offers immense authentic leisure experiences underpinned by people, culture, and value for money, while showcasing scenic beauty. This informed the 360-degree West Africa and Central East and West brand campaigns, which was one of two concepts that we developed and we were able to actually roll it out. Members will recall that in the market we localized the global campaign as developed by the Kimball team. The annual seasonal campaign and implementation plan for domestic tourism was developed and approved, which really is about inspiring domestic segments to travel and take more day and holiday trips by showcasing a variety of affordable, desired experiences in a clear and accessible way, supported by a personal safety message. The short-lived travel week campaign concept was developed and approved in quarter one, and members will recall they were then that was then implemented in quarter two. Distribution channels and traditional and non-traditional trade, like media, influencers, and corporates. These channels these are the platforms that allow engagement of communication to build destination awareness and interest and drive conversion. SA Tourism implemented 24 distribution channel initiatives during this quarter. The global trade program is critical to stimulate demand in our markets and grow trips from and within the country. South Africa must be sold effectively by both trade and channel to contribute to economic growth and support the sector's recovery. The quarter one milestones of the global trade plan were thus implemented, including the hosting of an airline pavilion at Africa's travel industry, participating in the launch of the ProFlight Zambia route, and participating at the ASEAN Dev conference that took place in Kenya. The Global Advocacy Program provides collective, active, and concerted support for supporting South Africa, particularly to drive a positive narrative of South Africa as a destination and to address barrier issues. The quarter one milestones of the Global Advocacy Program were executed, including media coverage, attendance at key events, and profiling travel experiences. The quarterly tourism economic impact communication activity is one that communicates to various stakeholders what tourism sector performance has been for the quarter and the related economic impact of tourism. And an opinion piece by the Minister of Tourism on the tourism sector performance in relation to tourism sector recovery was published to this day. In terms of business events, which is program four, the summary is as follows. The domestic and global business-to-business campaign plans were developed and approved. The domestic campaign aims to create awareness about big support programs, national association projects and corporate projects. The global campaign seek to promote the destination's exceptional sectors, its strength, and its key player and the leader in that regard. And this we are doing within the knowledge economy, exceptional infrastructure, and hosting ability. So that is the B2B campaign that we run in that space. 33 big submissions were achieved as planned. These big submissions are for the destination for Africa to host international and regional business events within the destination as part of the building pipeline for the destination. One business event, this is the Tourism Investment Forum Africa, was hosted in Upington, which is classified as part of the VTSDs. This was done on the 7th to 8th of June in 2023. This event attracted 194 delegates and speakers from the African continent, provided 38 job opportunities with 8 SMEs supported through the Sustainability Village, which was part of the SEF program. The Quarter 1 Business Events Building Impact Report was produced as planned, which is attributed to Tamiya's formalization of the building data. The report is a data and insight report that outlines essential building performance for the destination South Africa as a business and tourism perspective. Members will know that the question is always, what is the impact of this bid on the destination? And hence, this is the building impact report, which helps us to see what value does this add to the destination. Africa's Travel Indaba Reimagine was successfully hosted in Durban in May. This attracted 8,688 attendees, 1,464 buyers, and saw 55,423 meetings being held. The post-show economic impact study briefing for Meetings Africa was successfully concluded, as members would always implore us to come back and say what's the impact of this show on the economy. This report will outline the economic impact, which determines the quality of the show, as well as the economic investment that is taking place in tourism in terms of direct investment in relation to this project and ancillary projects. The entity planned for and participated at 2 international strategic platforms. This was the Arabian Travel Market, ATM, which over the course of 4 days, the stand shares on the pavilion held 3,000 meetings with buyers, resulting in 860 leads for potential business events to be hosted in South Africa over the next 2 to 5 years. South African Tourism created a 231 square meter South African pavilion with 20 desks and one sales staff desk. South African Tourism worked with provincial tourism authorities and small tourism enterprises associations, STA, in recruiting SMEs who participated in this program. The selection process considered the geographic location and products that are present in and understand the Middle East market. This led to 5 SMEs being added to the platform. The second platform was the IMEX Frankfurt. South African Tourism created a 251 square meter South African pavilion featuring 14 stand shares and 3 sales desks. Over the course of 3 days, the stand shares on the pavilion held 479 meetings with buyers, resulting in 153 leads for potential business events to be hosted in South Africa over a period of 2 to 5 years. South African Tourism held various engagements with buyers over the 2 days generating 23 leads with a combined estimated economic impact of 968 billion. So just under a billion is what we estimated as the impact of being at IMEX to source potential buyers for emerging Africa as well. The last program, very important program, is the Tourist Experience, aka the Great Encounter. 4,053 establishments were graded at the target of 1,366 over achievement. This was the annual tourism grading cycle for individual properties. The three milestones of the grading model and TGCSA value proposition roadmap were achieved for quarter one, including the TGCSA grant campaign launch, commencement of change management for the business model, and the development of the operational model. The achievement of this target is due to adequate planning and implementation. The intention of this area of work is to broaden the opportunities for the inclusion of emerging tourist products, services, and accommodation. The product proposition was developed, which identifies tourism products with establishments, attractions, and experiences to match them to the brand of South Africa being an exceptional tourist destination with a variety of authentic and diverse tourism offerings that meet the demands of the tourists. The three-year tourism value chain strategy was also developed. The objective of this strategy is to improve the quality of the visitor experience across the different touch points of the tourism value chain. The strategy will be supported by a roadmap which will outline the deliverables for each of the 3 years. That, honourable members, is a summary. I will then hand over to the acting CEO to talk to the financial performance.
Thank you, Chair. On the revenue slide, please. In terms of revenue for quarter one, which is a period between April and June of the financial year, our revenue streams remain the same, with the biggest cash inflow being from the transfer from the department chain. At the beginning of the financial year, which was quarter one, we received 44% of the projected budget from the Department of Tourism. And that was based on a cash flow analysis that was done during quarter one that linked to projects which were going to be implemented leading to the cash inflow at the time. Then from a total levy perspective, we had budgeted just over annually 53 million rand and the quarterly projection was 13.5 million rand. The actual revenue that you accrue for TOMSA is based on the memorandum of agreement that we have with TVCSA, and the actual cash inflow is dependent on the approval by the board on the other side of the money to South African Tourism. So during this quarter, no amount was received or accrued for because we had not received approval from TVCSA on amounts due to South African Tourism. Then on graded revenue check, for the quarter, the revenue projected was just over 3 million rand. The key thing to note there, when we look at actual revenues that was then accrued during this quarter, which is quarter one of the financial year, was that it was just below 700,000 rand. And the key reason for the under-recovery is that grading is driven by two things. One, it's the fee-paying members, and then the second one is the tourism incentive program money that we get. We put it in our balance sheet as unearned revenue, and as and when graded establishments qualify for the amount, we then put it in the income statement and then we then account for it under graded revenue. So during the quarter under review, so at the beginning of the financial year, the MOA, so the Memorandum of Agreement that's linked to Tourism Incentive Program, was not in place, and hence the under recovery in the line item, which is linked to fee-paying graded establishments. And then lastly, Chair, on the sundry revenue, again, then there was over recovery of what was quarterly projected, with us receiving just over 8.5 million rand. And the key thing there is working capital management drove that amount, and that's linked to the money that's put in call accounts that is not immediately being used for operational requirements. We put in a call account so that we can grow our money and get interest from there. So from a total revenue perspective, Chair, we accrued and also got a cash inflow of about 40% of our total income that is sitting in the APP. Then move to the next slide, please. The next slide, which is also an analysis of the income statement, talks to expenditure per program for the period between April and June of the financial year. So we've done an analysis of where we've invested our money in quarter one of the financial year. So under corporate support, the actual expenditure was just over 82.8 million versus expenditure for the quarter that was forecasted at 68.2 million rand. And the key reason for the variance, so it's two things. Always included under corporate support, we've got non-cash items that we need to account for under expenditure, which is your depreciation and amortization, and that's linked, or it's the same trend as every quarter and every financial year, where your expenditure will include both cash and non-cash items. So that's the first thing, and then also included under corporate support at the beginning of the financial year, which would have been quarter one, there's also an upfront payment that's linked to the contract that we have for the lease agreements that we have for the country offices. So that number also then affects what's showing as expenditure in quarter one. And then the other key driver, which is not showing when we look at a total basis, but when I get to expenditure for economic classification, we'll see it is the line item that is linked to employee costs that you do have because of the vacancy, there was an underspend in that line item, but that underspend is then offset by these two items that I've just mentioned, which is the non-cash expenditure, as well as the upfront payments or prepayments that are linked mostly in the line item to rent for country offices. Chair, I'll then move on to program two, which is business enablement. In this specific program, the expenditure for the quarter that was projected was 21.8 million rand versus expenditure actually incurred of just over 35 million rand. And the reason for the expenditure in program two is linked to brand tracking services that were undertaken by the team, as well as the global brand subscriptions. Again, linked to the contracts that are in place, there is a prepayment, but with these specific prepayments is that then the amount gets amortized over the financial year. So you pay up front, but you get to get the benefit throughout the financial year. So that's why we talk about the budget being available at during the year or during the financial year. That's what we mean by that. And then under program three, Chair, we spent just over 318 million rand versus a forecast of 271 million rand. There is, again, similar to corporate support, but we account for it under program three. There's an amount that's linked to unrealized foreign losses. So when we then consolidate our books and we take country offices into account, there is an accounting entry that goes in that we need to account for under expenditure. But just on the actual expenditure as well for quarter one, the amounts that drove the actual expenditure are linked to the Never Gain 2.0 global brand campaign that took place during quarter one and was launched during Indaba. Also included the other activations that happened during Africa's Travel Indaba during May 2023. And then on business events, which is our program four, the expenditure there was 136.7 million versus what was forecasted, which is 114 million. So what drove the number is mostly due to the the increased sale events, which requires, so it's linked to contractual conditions. And when we say it's linked to contractual conditions, it then means if it's paid upfront, you then get the benefit throughout the financial year. But if I then look at the amount that's sitting as expenditure in terms of what makes up the amount, part of the activities within Program 4 during quarter 1 were linked to the launch of the new logo during ATI, which is Africa's Travel Endeavor. There was also the number that also drove the expenditure under quarter 1 of 136.7 million is the hosted buyers travel expenditures, so the hosted buyers that were part of Endeavor. Also included in here, which is consistent with the previous financial year, and we also see it every quarter, is that as part of the actual expenditure, we also include the bid support commitment rollover when we get our approval from Treasury to rollover funds. So those funds, when we then start expensing them, we then see them come through under expenditure. And then lastly, Chair, Program 5, which is visitor experience, with a focused budget of 22, or just below 22.4 million rand, the expenditure that was spent there was 24.5 million rand, so there's about a 2.1 million over expenditure, and that's linked to media production. So that media production was at Africa's Travel Endeavor, which was for Safari Now, and it happened at ATI, which is Travel Endeavor, and led to a 2.1 million rand over expenditure in that line item. There is a link between this line item and what was actually the performance of grading in terms of the graded numbers, and that's the reason the team was able to meet that specific target. Then we move to economic classification. Thank you. Then, Chair, on the financial performance expenditure by economic classification slide, I think this just emphasizes what I said earlier when I was dealing with the expenditure per program slide around the employee cost, that there was under expenditure, so it begins to show that this under expenditure was actually offset by other line items under program one. So if I drill down to this specific line item, what was spent for compensation of employees was 57 million versus the 60 million that was planned for the quarter. And then just lastly, which is a summary of goods and services except a compensation of employee. This light item is a consolidation of all the programs minus the employee cost. And what was spent here is 45% of our forecasted annual budget. And I've already dealt with the reasons for the spending in the different line items of the program in the previous slide. This resulted in total expenses of 41% for the first quarter when you then compare it to the budget for the entire financial year. Chair, we'll then move on to the next slide, which is the analysis of goods and services. This slide shows where we spent most of our marketing budget as South African Tourism. So the biggest amount is spent in media, so both digital and traditional media, and the key thing is the work that we do to drive brand awareness and also brand positivity so that we can then, as we move along the conversion curve, be able to convert the people we target to actual tourist arrivals as well as domestic trips. We also then spend or invest a lot in production because that production then feeds into the content that we see in the media. So that's why there's a 22% there. The other biggest spend is around activation. So that also then drives brand awareness as well as brand positivity. And then with other line items which are linked to hosting capabilities is all the agency fees that we pay, as well as research, have a lower allocation when you compare them to the top three line items. Chair, I will pause here and then hand over to my colleague to take us through human capital. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. If we go to the human capital employment equity breakdown, I will go to the details But essentially what the chart is saying is that in terms of males, if you look at the grand total, your Africans are 42, colored 2, Indian 2, Chinese 0, white 5, and the subtotal there in terms of males employed at SAT is 51. The females, Africans, the 73, colored 10, Indian 7, Chinese 1, white 6, the subtotal there, there will be 97. And then the balance is made up of foreign members, will recall it because we run offices across the world. We have a substantial amount of people that are foreign. Of those, males are 12, females are 22, and the subtotal is actually 34. So a total employment in terms of the number of people that we have currently is 182. Against the 202 approved structure. In terms of governance, this will summarize the number of board meetings held in the quarter. We just outlined the various meetings there. The board in quarter one, there was 9 meetings. Dates are put there. The Marketing and Commercial Committee, subcommittee of the board in quarter one, they had 1. The Tourism Grading Council Awards Committee, they didn't have a meeting in that quarter. Human Capital and Remuneration Committee in quarter one did not have a meeting. Audit and Risk had 1 meeting in that quarter. Honorable Chair, that will be the end of the quarter one presentation. Thank you. Honorable members, that's the presentation. Can I note hands? Makuvela, De Freitas, Matumba, Maneli, Honorable Ishmael, Honorable Bush, in that order, Honorable members. Trying to stabilize and ensure that the
entity has stability and senior management and also vacancies filled where human capital is needed. So if I can get, or we can get a direct response from yourself, Minister, we know that it's only the CEO position that you would be directly involved in, the responsibilities is within you. And then in your presentation earlier on, in your opening remarks, you've made mention that the systems are already in place. By November, you will be the full board, the full component of the board will be put in place. You actually, from the last meeting, you gave us even dates to say on this date, this will be taken to the cabinet committees and so on and so on, so forth, and you are already interviewing. So perhaps if you can just give us time frames to say, on your side for the CEO position, this is where you envisage between this time. And then the board itself, on the senior management, to give us the percentage and also the time frames when you will be filling in the key vacancies in the board or in the entity. And then the second question is on the study that would be conducted or that has been concluded on the economic impact on Meetings Africa. Perhaps maybe just to get to understand if we will chairperson be or this report will be shared with us so that we can be able to get information on the economic spin-offs and economic impact that these platforms that we are involved in has for the country. And that was just a question to understand if we will be in a position to get a presentation on this. And then the last question, Chairperson, is on the board meeting. There are about 9 meetings that were held in the first quarter, which tells you that the board is very busy. Well, Minister, the board being this extremely busy, does that not directly relate to them being overstretched to capacity? Because you have one board member, Mr. Tanzi Mutambo, who is overcommitted. Does this minister not actually warrant the fact that, you know, our call as this committee for adding members was just not us throwing hot air, but we wanted perhaps the board to work for the entity, because you have this board member who's forever absent in all activities, you know, he's just overcommitted. This then leaves the two board members, who is Mr. Tim Harris and Ms. Zama, to be overstretched. And looking at the number of meetings that they held in the first quarter, tells you that they are quite busy. That's my submission.
Is that odd? Mr. Honorable Different.
Just a few questions. I see that you to where it should be. It is already above where it should be, so perhaps that could be discussed a little. So for example, it should be around, yes, around about 25% of the first quarter, but it's already over 40. So I'm more concerned about the spending, and unless there's a plan to, there's a reason to spend more now and perhaps to spend later. So that could just be discussed at all. And then I won't repeat the questions earlier about the nominations and the announcements of members of the new board. I see in the document it was, there was a commitment of the minister given until November. So I just wanted to check if that is still on track. And then, is there any emphasis on making sure that the comments that the Auditor General made is not going to be repeated? In kind of reading through everything, it seems to be that some of the mistakes made previously that the Auditor General pointed out is being repeated. So we could just have some comments there. And then I think that is it. So all the others are good clarity. Thanks very much for that.
Another one. Michael?
Thank you, Chair. I will start by the first question to Mr. Timaris, that according to page 42 of Parliament's recommendation, it says 42.6.2, the Minister of Tourism should expedite the process of appointing and properly constituting the Board of South African Tourism in accordance with the Tourism Act. And for that board to appoint executive staff of the entity. This is not only from the committee but from Parliament itself. Now, the question is, Mr. Tim Harris, why are you undermining Parliament by appointing the executive members when Parliament stated it clear that a fully fledged board that is appointed by the minister must do that? What do you expect the committee to do when you have now appointed the executive, for us to accept them or to stick by recommendations of Parliament, as we are a committee of Parliament and we must draw the line of resolutions of Parliament? So, as a former member of Parliament yourself, why are you undermining Parliament? Because it is in black and white, 6.2. I'm sure you have read it. Chair, I'm looking at this, it's the report of board meetings. We don't have a report there. That is not how a report of board meetings is written, because it doesn't show any accountability. Those in politics will even understand it better, because we say you don't attend three meetings conservatively, then it means you are out of that particular position. So this is how you must do it. You write name, Mr. Tim Harris, Mr. Shedim Tambo, then in a column you show that it's a meeting, attendance, not attendance. So the report must show us how many meetings did you have, how many did you attend. In that way we will then know who is attending and who is not attending. And in accordance with the Act, you have ordinary meetings, and you have special meetings, and you have meetings called by the minister. Then you go to committee meetings. Then you show us who is attending which committee and what is happening. Did the minister call a board meeting? How many special meetings? Now, if it's like this, we don't know, Chair, who is there and who is not there. And I agree with the Honorable Makwele, that you have Mr. Zweli. He's forever not here. And we don't know if this man is attending this thing. The other thing, we must have a cost breakdown of this so-called board. How much are we spending on him? Is it justifiable? We must have that. So here, what we have, it's not a report that one can make people account, because it's just giving us date without showing us who is attending and who is not attending, whether it's a special meeting or whether it's a meeting called by the minister in accordance with the Act, because she's allowed to call one. In terms of people visiting South Africa, we need to know your spending on marketing the country. Is it translating into numbers? Because if you go back to the report, it will show you that some of the numbers are people who are coming to work in South Africa, some are people who are coming to visit their relatives who are working in numbers. So they have nothing to do with you marketing South Africa. That you marketing South Africa, is it translating into those numbers? How much are we spending on the Asian Pacific? Are we getting value for money? Do we have research for that? Because you will find that we are spending money, but we don't know if we are really getting value for our money. And Chair, normally when we raise issues as the committee, they are not adhered to, and the advice is not taken. You know, it's very much disappointing that you will raise something, it will come back, you will raise something, it will come back. But let me say it, because you know I want to sleep peacefully, because for me, issues of women is not a side issue of Women's Month. It's an everyday issue, because I can't find myself celebrating Winnie Madikizela Mandela and Charlotte Maxeke, and when there is injustice to women, I just fold my hands. I'm saying this, and I'm bringing this to the committee. What is happening to Ms. Sonto? Let it not repeat itself, because people are watching. Chair, we have a problem in this industry where people front their maids and their people who are working in the garden. As owners of businesses, in order to access funds, in order to comply to BEE, but those people don't even know that they are owners of companies, they own shares. Now, it's happening in front of us. You have a person who is removed as acting CEO, but when it comes to here, it's fronted as what? As somebody who knows the job. I mean, it is even said to us here, when we are seated here, that a person who knows this thing better will present. It was said here on record. But this person who knows better is not put to lead in that position. So we can't call out people to when they are fronting our people, and we allow a situation where a qualified black woman is being presented and is being window dressing is taking place, that thing on its own is wrong and it must not happen again. If the acting CEO, the work is too much, she must say, this one must go to this one, then I'll be able to handle this one. You can't have two positions and you can't present for them. On its own, that is wrong. And I have to say, I don't have anything against the acting CEO. I mean, when you were appointed, I want to say this in front of everyone, when you were appointed, all the calls and the research that we made is that you are the best accounting person. Those things, you know them, and you are still young and you are still going far. And do not allow politicians to use you to get where they are going, because we, as politicians, we are people of votes. We are not people of CV. Thank you.
People of CV, Honorable Maneni. Good day to everybody in the meeting. Chair, I think let me also start with the issue of the board meeting. Though I believe that honorable members have gone to town around this issue. Chair, I would also want to know as to how many of these meetings were virtual and how many were physical. And I think Honorable Matumba spoke to this, the type of meetings. He was, to me, having 9 meetings already, it is a lot. Probably if you can clarify just what type of meeting is that, then we can have some form of justification. And also just for the meeting to know that even in the last board, we had this kind of a trend where we have many board meetings, but not the required outcomes. Chairperson, coming also to the point of financial implications. Also, yeah, we're noting a trend of overspending, especially in quarter one. And in the financial year of 2023-24, such similar results were experienced, and that has led to an overspending of 105. So I'm worried, Chair, as to whether is the same going to happen again this year, where there will be a forecast on spending. Coming to the business enablement, yes, Chair, we're noting the targets that are not met, and also there's misalignment of spending and performance. So can you also be clarified around that one as well? My last point, Chair, will be around the issues of equity. The 0% of disabled people. One is wondering, Chair, to what approach of recruitment is being engaged here? What is it that the NPT is doing wrong that it can't attract people with disabilities? Because we can't overlook that sector as one, Chair, as in terms of the law, we know that they should be catered for as well. Those would be my inputs, Chair, as an entry. In that order.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everybody. I have covered a few of my questions by my colleagues, but nevertheless, I'll just state what I have written down. So there are many targets that have not been achieved in the ADT. What strategic action steps are going to be taken or implemented to ensure, you know, that these targets are actually achieved as set out in the annual performance plan? My second question again is, you know, there are some targets that have not been achieved in quarter one. What internal audit mechanisms are being put in place to ensure that the entity achieves its set target? You know, again, I'm going to be stressing, in our meeting sometime back, Minister, you know, you advised the committee that the selection panel will be appointed to appoint the entity board members. It's the 31st of October today. Mm-hmm. We know you've stated I don't know what's wrong with this mic.
Can you switch off the mic next to you and that mic then? Switch it off. Yes, then you are fine.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure how far you are to achieve it, nevertheless. So in
you
our meeting...
That approach.
Okay, thank you. So there are many targets that have not been achieved in the annual performance plan. What strategic action steps are going to be taken or implemented to ensure that these targets are actually achieved? My second question is, the entity is also behind in achieving quarter one targets. What internal audit mechanisms are being put in place to ensure that the entity achieves its set targets? My third question, in our meeting sometime back, Minister, you know, you advised that a selection panel will be appointed to appoint the entity board members. And today is the 31st of October. I think at our last meeting you stated something of the names will be going to, you know, the cabinet, etc. Please can you advise us how far is this process? Now, there seems to be a major overexpenditure of 120 million rand, yet underachievement of targets. And this seems to be, you know, repeated findings, and this is obviously worrisome. What are you going to do to manage this issue going forward? So basically, what constructive measures have you put in place to ensure that the AG report findings are addressed? Thank you. A nice thing.
Honorable Bush.
Thank you very much. Greetings, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members.
Can you please speak to the mic?
Teaching and everyone else. Let me first welcome the presentation, Chair. Also applaud the NTC on all the targets that they have achieved. Also on the product proposition target, Chair, which has been achieved, I so wish that as the portfolio committee we could receive a detailed presentation on this target, Chair, on this given the experience that we had during the Northwest oversight visit, Chair. Secondly, Chair, it is worth noting with concern that the entity continues to report non-achievement on the targets of appointing people with disabilities. The sector, in a way, Honorable Minister, feels excluded. And I think it's going to be important that the department shares with us what plans do they have, do you have in terms of attracting the sector and ensure inclusivity. I think I've lost track of my counting now, Chairperson. How far are you with the fifth gem appointment for the best company to work for, survey? The corporate brand index target, Chair, was not achieved. A reason stated is that it is due to classes with, which has been the case towards the end of the financial year 2022-23. And this, to me, Honorable Chairperson, indicates poor planning. I so wish to get a sense from the department how would they ensure that there's proper planning for improved target achievement, Chair. My
Thank you, Chair, and my humble apologies. It's a question that I had omitted earlier on, and that is a direct question to the board chairperson, Tim Harris. In a previous meeting in this portfolio committee, at this exact room, you mentioned the fact that the reason you have requested Ms. Norma Sonto, who was the acting CEO at the time, to step down is because there were allegations of whistleblowers, bribes and so on, and then you are going to be undertaking an investigation. And I want to assume that Ms. Norma Sonto, investigation is concluded, and the reason you had brought this CFO to be the CEO, the acting CEO, was coincidentally very short, and that was your response to this committee. And now the very short is now leading us to up until I think when the full-time CEO is appointed. Can perhaps you report direct the short, what does the short mean? Because that was your exact word, going to be for a short. And in my understanding, as a member who was sitting here in the committee, I thought the short was just 1 week. But nonetheless, it was me who was misinformed. Can perhaps you give us the short space, and then also give us the report around Ms. Norma Sonto, because you had mentioned that the reason you are putting her down is because there is a report and you are investigating. How far is that? So that we clear the air here, and we are not seen to be supporting, because by virtue of us sitting here and allowing and the process of acting, this week is this one, next week is this one, it means if there's a report that comes next week to say there's a whistleblower from the tender of the dome, from the acting CEO, you then put it down and bring somebody else. Maybe that in itself can just make us engage with you from an informed position as we engage with this acting. And my apologies, Chair, it's a question that I had omitted. It was not my intention to come back at you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable members, for your questions. I'm going to allow the minister and his team to respond to the questions of the honorable members. There's a glaring overspending which is reported, Minister, in the reports as I read them, and this overspending in most instances do not correlate with what has been achieved, and in some instances there are no achievements. For instance, the AG comes here and reports an overspending on human capital, and yet we are seated here with 14% of vacancy rate not achieved due to a moratorium which you reported to the portfolio committee at some point as being lifted. Now, how many parts of moratoriums which you have? Because on the other hand, you're hiring CEOs and CFOs. On the other hand, there's a moratorium which is preventing the entity from filling vacancies. And one critical aspect is that one of people living with disabilities. And then it means then therefore that you are not in compliance with the act that guides all of us in the country to ensure that these quotas are adhered to. In the APP, it is highlighted that the budget optimization strategy will outline the organization's approach to enhancing revenue generation and cost optimization to reduce the organization's reliance on the fiscus. And now we are sitting here today receiving a report where this particular aspect is not achieved. What are we doing in this entity? Why is this not achieved? I think those reasons are, it is prudent that you provide them to the portfolio committee. In the last meeting, in the last session with SAT, it was reported that there's 23 board meetings that you set, and today there's 9. And in that 23, which was reported to us, the portfolio committee had resolved to say we need a report on how much has been compensated to these board members for these 23 board meetings. And to date, we have not received such a report as a portfolio committee. And where I'm sitting, I know that this is in contravention with the Tourism Act, which stipulates that the board meetings must not exceed 9 sittings. So we're still waiting for that clarification on the 23 board meetings, and today we're given is something new. I don't know. I was perusing my notes now of the previous meetings, and it was 23 that was reported. The entity, let's say in good spirit, introduced something new, which is Tourism Information Tracking Survey. Very new, we applauded the entity, but to my surprise, this has not been achieved. Were the systems in place when this was introduced? What was the objective for the introduction of this particular program? And it's quite confusing because in a number of meetings, if not all, the entity has been consistent to say, in terms of STEPS information and survey, you are relying on STEPS SA because STEPS SA is accurate and that you are using that information. And today we are sitting with this new phenomenon which was introduced by your good self, but nothing has been achieved on this particular issue. So I think those are my few out of a lot that is noted here in my notebook with my hand. Program 2, Program 4, Program 5, they are not achieved. What are the reasons for non-achievement on these programs? And I'll stop there. And there is no accountability on what was transferred by the department on the 23rd of May, as reported by the DG at the time, which was 586683 million rand. There is no, I see no no accountability, but you come here, you decry the money that are held by Parliament and what have you, when there's too much overspending, that is not accounted for. And also, I want to understand whether these overspending are on the programs which were approved and that were on your APP, and also whether the budget optimization strategy was approved and implemented on that. So one last issue is on the selling of the country globally and vis-a-vis the contract which was signed with Mr. Collins, who is the captain of the Springboks, who is in actual fact trending globally and commended by all countries for his leadership. And that advertisement just went missing when we were watching rugby. What happened to this? Because that platform, if we are to sell the country globally, it was a very perfect platform. And why was SAT invisible throughout the World Cup, which took almost a month, if not a month and a half? Why was there no presence of South African tourism when you have such beautiful responsibility of selling our country globally? The cricket is playing a World Cup. There is no visibility of selling our country globally. What's the meaning of this, selling the country globally? I think those will empower me. So you are responding even on the other questions which are tabled by the honourable members. Thank you very much. Mr. Ndotu.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and thank you for the question. Let me start with the issue of disabilities. I agree with the Honourable Committee fully. The target is only 2%, and to have it at 0% and then claiming that there are disabled people but they are not disclosing that they are disabled. I think the question that the Honourable Members are asking is there a purposeful strategy to attract disabled people to get that percentage? So I agree fully with the committee members on that, that we need to develop a strategy that we can attract, and certain posts must be biased towards people with a disability. In the department itself, our current total is 3%, which even the 3% I said to the DG, I think we can do better than the 3%. Just on the issue of spending and marketing South Africa, the figures that are reported on the spend or the impact of the spend on marketing for South Africa as a destination, it's a combination of what the private sector put in and what SAT government put in. We put in 1 billion rand for destination marketing. The private sector put in 50 billion rand to market the same destination. But when we come and report to the honourable members, we report the actual figures of the impact of that combination. So it is not only the money that SAT invests in marketing, but the reporting figures is reflective of both private sector and public sector. And that is why there is a memorandum of agreement between TBCSA
and SAP to do joint marketing. On the marketing side, I had discovered that it's totally fragmented, that there is a competition between SAP and the private sector when it comes to marketing. We had one marketing workshop with all the provinces, the metropolitans, to see how we can at least have a consistent message for marketing South Africa as a country. And that process, we are working together with the private sector. The second meeting will take place now in November. But there is definitely a fragmentation of marketing in our country. And Chair, you mentioned the issue of StatsSA. StatsSA is the best source for information in our country. And StatsSA has got the resources and the skills. The issue of tracking information. When I, for instance, look, comparatively speaking, the information produced by the UNWTO, of which we are a member and we're paying an affiliation fee of about 2.4 million a year. That information is not much different from StatsSA. And my advice has always been, let's use one source of information. And I'm not surprised that this tracking system is not in place, because my question was that, what are you going to track? Information from who? Because most of the information is also available on the internet. Then just on the APP targets for the first quarter, what I've noticed, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair, is that SAP is reporting that in the second quarter they have corrected some of the non-performance in quarter one. So I think in quarter two we must get a better performance report. But what is also concerned to me is the percentage spend versus performance. The point raised by several members here, and I think Honourable Member Freitas also raised it. I think SAT must explain that to us. I did say to them that they will have to explain to the committee the overspend of 2.1 million. But the question with the overspend that I raised, a chairperson, is that before you overspend, is there a process internally whereby you seek permission to deviate from the approved budget and spend more? And maybe SAT can enlighten us on that, because if overspending is just allowed for buying more of this to achieve a target, we can't be ignoring what is actually contained in the actual budget. Concerning the board chairperson, several members have asked me some questions in Parliament about the board, their attendance, and how much spent. I just want to ask chairperson to give me until the end of today. Let me just put all of the information that I've received from SAT. The last time when I asked for, I was told that some claims were put in by some board members and other board members didn't put in claims, but those claims have not been paid. I hear what members say about the number of meetings. Now, Honourable Members, part of this that led to the increased number of meetings was really a new board, a new minister, and it is administrative information that I need. I use the board as through their fiduciary duties to go and get that information for me. But once we settle, I can assure you that this will end. But I also have the assurance that it didn't cost SAT a lot of money for all of the board meetings. But by the end of the day, I will give Honourable Chairperson a full report. I've just asked Leanne to put all of that information together for me. But on the overspend, definitely SAT can give further information. The one point that honourable members also raised up there, which is also of concern to me, is the misalignment to spend versus performance. I've made that point already. Honourable Matambu raised the issue of the report that was published by Parliament. And it makes specific reference to point 6.1. There are two points that is critical, and that is under the three conditions that was put to the board and the department before the committee will consider lifting the moratorium on the next tranche to the board. One of those conditions were that the executive positions must be filled as soon as possible. And that is exactly what we have done, was to start the process of filling the executive positions. I left the moratorium on that. And like I reported in the last meeting to honourable members, we are making progress, and I also reported to honourable members, let me start with the board. With the board, I reported that on the 15th of November, the Cabinet Committee will meet. And then on the 29th of November, the cabinet will then consider the recommendation. So it is, I did report that by the end of November, this board will be concluded. Just an update, it is already in the cabinet system. The DG and the presidency has acknowledged our request for these things to be put on the agenda. So I'm very hopeful that we will make it to be finalized by the last cabinet committee of the year, which is the 29th of November. That is what I reported. So yes, honorable, it is the end of October now, but the process is ongoing. Like I also said in my opening remarks, Chairperson, that I am following up with the board on the position of the CEO, and because they need to seek concurrence with the minister. I've also requested them that I want their internal processes to be done before the end of November so that we can also agree or concur on the appointment. The rest of the senior management positions, that has been dealt with by the board, and I think they are better placed to give us a report there. Then also, Chairperson, I won't be able to answer you on the issue of the logo and the visibility at the Rugby Met. SAT can do that. So these are my first general remarks. I will come back once I get more information. I'll ask the chairperson of the board through you to also answer some of the honourable members' questions through you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. And Chair, just to note, I'll deal with many of these questions and then ask the management to assist with others. And then if I can please be excused after that, sure, Vishnu would be happy to take any follow-up questions from the board. So the question on the moratorium on hiring was lifted for several posts: CEO, CFO, CMO, Convention Bureau Officer, Strategy Officer, Audit Executive, and Group Risk and Compliance. The Chief Audit Exec role was filled. The GRC CEO and CFO were in the recruitment process, and the CMO and Chief Convention Bureau Officer have been advertised, and the shortlisting is in process. So that's the update that Honourable Makabela requested. The question on the board meetings, so just to draw the members' attention again to Section 18 of the Act, the Act conceives of a requirement that the board must have four ordinary meetings, so one each quarter, and then the chairperson of the board may convene special meetings of the board. So that's a list of nine meetings. And Chair, it's different from the list that you quoted earlier, because it's for this quarter that's under consideration today. That list that you quoted earlier was for a previous period that actually wasn't this board. It was meetings conducted by a previous board. So just to reassure the members, these are the meetings that happened kind of immediately after this board's appointment. So several of them were, in fact, four of them were inductions, where we were sitting with management in a sort of deep dive to understand the issues that were alive. There were two meetings at least that were occasioned by the resignation of the CEO, where we needed to make a plan at the board level to navigate that. I think if you look at the rest, there were approximately four what you might call substantive meetings of the board remaining. And remember, this was the period, Chair, when we were dealing with the big backlog of whistleblower reports. So these were the meetings where we considered those, and we decided as a board to request the help of the Special Investigating Unit. And we considered each of the whistleblowing reports on their merits. So we didn't just refer everything, we looked for reasonable concern and referred those. So I think the committee would agree that considering that this was the beginning of the board session and that we were dealing with that backlog, as well as the resignation of the CEO, we certainly weren't meeting in a kind of unreasonable circumstances. All of these meetings were required, and I think helped us to get on top of our responsibilities as a board. The question from Honourable Makabela on the previous acting CEO, that we do have, the board has that report, and based on that report being finalised, it's become an internal disciplinary process that's underway. You'll remember we discussed at length last time I was here the difficult decision to ask the CFO to become acting accounting officer, and we've gone through it in great detail, so I won't reiterate the chair, except to say that it was the only option available to us, that we looked at some precedent in the public sector. For example, the ESCOM CFO has been acting as CEO now for 8 months, and there were other examples that I mentioned before as well. And finally, we took into account a Treasury CFO handbook that says the CFO may act as an accounting officer for a not unreasonable time period. And now the question is the 1.5 months that's passed so far, we don't believe that that's unreasonable, but certainly in line with what the Minister's already said, we are focused on resolving this. So it's not going to be an unreasonable time period. We will be in line with the CFO handbook. Honourable de Freitas, those questions will be covered by management. Honourable Matumba, you've heard the Minister committing to the committee several times now around the board's commitment to resolving the acting and properly constituting the executive. I believe that's in line with 6.12 of the recommendations from this committee. And that's the mandate that we're operating in line with, aside from the fact that as the accounting authority of the organization, we do have an obligation to make sure that there's proper leadership at the organization. So that is what drives us in terms of the way we're empowered in the act. I think Santo Nombolelo can deal with priority markets questions. Just a point, Chair, it's come up a few times on the presentation. So obviously the delegation from South African Tourism is here to support the Minister. We're jointly responsible for this report, you know, the board, the management, the CEO is the accounting officer. The report that was presented today came from a period when the COO was acting as CEO. So that was the simple logic that we decided before the meeting it made sense for her to present. But it doesn't absolve any of us of being jointly responsible for what you saw today. There was a question about from Honourable Banele on virtual physical meetings. I can run through it quickly for the record. The 5th of May was a physical meeting, 6th of May virtual, 9th of May physical, 19th of May virtual, 29th of May virtual, 2nd of June was a hybrid meeting, 5th of June was also a hybrid.
Mr. Kimara,
3rd of June was virtual.
Let me stop you there.
Right.
Because you are in actual fact contradicting the minister. Perhaps next time you must consider not to speak after the minister has spoken. Because the minister has made a commitment here to say he is going to submit a detailed report on the matter by the end of business today. And hearing you on a number of issues, you are justifying, and in that justification, you are contradicting the minister. The logic versus the practice, there can't be contradictions. Because practice says, and governance says, you can't act on those two positions. And as a committee, we resolved that the COO, we accept that she must present, not because she was an acting CEO at the time. And the minister has explained that. And now you come in, you are contradicting the minister on many issues. So I think next time you must just allow protocol to prevail. If the minister has responded on the issues which are raised by the committee members, you must venture into other issues, not the ones that the minister had responded to. Because now you just want to create a commotion unnecessarily so, because for instance, to come here and say the meetings which I'm referring to are meetings of previous orders, that is economical to the truth, because the board meetings are more than 9. 23 was reported on this particular board. On the previous board, we had received a detailed report, and we know what you're talking about. And all honorable members, as they are seated here, they are very much empowered in terms of the Tourism Act, because it's something that was been discussing and discussing even long before Minister Patricia Deli was deployed to this particular portfolio. So on those issues, when the minister has responded, don't respond to them, because they're going to mess up the whole meeting. So I want you to leave those issues which the minister has responded to, the way she has responded to them, which I think is acceptable by the honorable members, and they will raise whatever uncertainties that are there as they were raising the issues earlier on. So I'm just advising you on refraining from doing that, because the issue of non-compliance on people living with disabilities, for instance, it is attributed on the moratorium which was put by the minister. and the minister has responded to that, and you want to dilute the response, I don't know what is it that you want to achieve by so doing. So don't respond on matters where the minister has responded. We don't want commotion. Please, today we are very highly positive spirited because of the Springboks and their performance, you know. So we're looking forward to other national teams that are there. So I just wanted to stop you there, and then you can allow other people from your team. And when you are deployed or appointed to a position, you accept the position with its baggages. The minister knows better. When she was appointed here, there was a hot potato of Tottenham Hotspur, and that became her baggage, because she said to the president, I'm available to take over tourism as mandated. But she was able to mitigate on that particular issue. Look at it, those are the recommendations of the portfolio committee, because she understands that the baggage is her baggage. Can't be that because you were a CEO at the time and now you are still here, so then account because this is your report when there's someone who's acting. It's a wrong notion. It should not arise at all. So allow the members of the team, SAT, to continue with the responses on questions which were tabled by honorable members and everyone else that made comments, so that we proceed in that spirit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. That's noted.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the question and then allow team members to also answer questions in their specific areas. I'll start with the question, Chair, from Honorable Makubela around the request for an economic impact on using capital to share the report to make the report available. And then there was a question that came through a number of times, Chair, around linking performance to budget. The question was from Honorable Defectors, where you looked at the quarterly spend and the projection should be 25% versus 41%. I think the first thing I'll do is just explain the drivers for the expenditure, not taking away the fact that there is an over expenditure and we need to account for it. Then the key thing is that in a normal financial year, when we do our forecasting and spending for the financial year, especially for quarter one, in the marketing space, they will find projects where they will consolidate and find economies of scale and actually pay upfront and get those savings. And that's why when we then explain the upfront payments, we then say the budget will be available at the end of the financial year. But what we're saying is that the benefit will be available at the end of the financial year. We also have some contracts where you'll have prepayment, and that prepayment doesn't happen without an approval. So for every prepayment in the organization, there must be an approval based on the person who's responsible for working capital management, so that you ensure that you're actually not spending more than what is available for the organization as a whole. So we put that control in place. I think what's just key for this specific quota is that there were line items. If you look, for example, under business events where there was overspending, and when there's overspending, whether or not it was approved, the key mitigation that we put so that we don't also go over the annual budget, because when you go over the annual budget, you're going to have a problem with treasury where we can't spend money that has been approved for a rollover. So what we then do internally when we do our quarterly business reviews, we ask at a program level that each head of a department, if you have overspending, you then reallocate within the program so that you don't go over what is what you have as your budget for the financial year. I mean, learning from the last time where from the AG's recommendation and as well as the guidance and direction that we got from portfolio committee members around the issue of linking performance to budget as well as service delivery, it's something that we definitely went back, re-looked at,
And I think going through the financial year, we're going to make sure that where there is spending, we can then come back and account for the performance. So that's just that. Maybe before I move from this one, because it's also important, there's also learnings from the current year and the financial situation in the current year, Chair, where we can't continue to do upfront payments whether or not it's contractual, where you're actually forced to go and negotiate the percentage of upfront payments because it's working capital management and we don't have the full budget. So unlike in quarter one, when we then go through the other quarters, we'll begin to see a decline in expenditure, and it's linked to the fact that we only have certain amount available and we need to manage it as best as we can in terms of the current financial year. Honorable Matunga, the question on appointments has been addressed. I know there is also a question around overspending the program. I think that the key thing, without repeating what's been said already, is that there is, and also forced by current financial situation, enhanced controls around the spending and whether or not it exceeds the current performance. I think just linked to that, Chair, there was a question around if we are spending, is the spending aligned to projects that were in the APT? So in our delegation of authority, no, you can't spend on a project that's not sitting in the APP. If there's a process for approving projects that are outside of the annual performance plan, and that delegation is to CEO up to a certain amount at the board as well. So that's to ensure that nothing goes through finance that hasn't been approved, so that the delegation of authority does allow for certain projects to be added. But the key thing is that before you can add a project as a business unit head, you need to say how this specific project is going to drive our performance at South African Tourism before the next person can then approve that. Honorable Ishmael, you spoke about the internal audit link as well as performance management. So what is the role of internal audit in assuring that what has been previously raised is being addressed, as well as if we are spending money, do we have an independent eye that's looking at our records to ensure that what we're spending on is actually based, is driving performance, or is it linked to our annual performance plan? I can assure you that internal audit does on a quarterly basis review our performance, as well as the budget report that goes quarterly to National Treasury. And part of that review is not just them giving an opinion on it, because they are internal audit. They would then test our mitigations, whether or not they are effective, because for every underperformance and overexpenditure, we then need to provide them with a fix for the rest of the financial year. So that control is in place. In fact, it links to the project that sits under Program 1. I think that's the one about the improving Operation Clean Audit, improving the audit of the organization, because I know it does not seem like it when we present this financial, but if we go back, or the financial and non-financial performance, that's the key thing that's driving us, so that we can then come back and actually account on performance that is acceptable. Chair, there was a question on the 120% working capital management, and we've now overspent and it's sitting at 120%. I think I've already touched on it, but the key thing there is that because of at the time of the report, we had 9 months that was left. What we then do is that each functional head must identify within their BUs what they can then reprioritize and still be able to meet their targets, so that we don't sit with an issue at the end of the year. So that's something that I believe as we come back and account, we'll be able to show the trend. And where we've said we've prepaid and the benefit for the rest of the financial year, we should be able to see that trend in the financial. There's a question around SA Corporate Brand Index, our
TMO will take that one. There was also, or the question on board meeting has been addressed. There was also a question on marketing investment and translating it, does it translate to arrivals and trips, how do you measure that? So part of the studies that we do, especially in Program 2, which relates to the departure service, the kind of questions that are asked, in fact, is for us to be able to measure that. I fully agree that there will always be overlaps with the other investment from the private sector, and we can then also then benefit from that. And that's why the whole thing around collaborating and co-creating with everyone in the tourism value chain is important. But from a measurement perspective, when we see under Program 2 that we've got activities around the departure survey, that's the kind of information that we're trying to get so that we are able to measure the impact of our work. I also know that it's something that's not part of the APP chair, but we do it at the offices, that for every campaign, we do an analysis of whether or not the campaign got the intended ROI. And that's for us is important, because when you drive a campaign, the ultimate is that you then build your brand awareness, your positivity, and you convert. So every campaign that goes out, there is a monitoring and evaluation process that we go through so that we can learn and then enhance anything else that we do going forward. Honorable Maneli, you asked on meetings. Okay, that's the information on virtual versus physical board meeting. Honorable Chair, you asked on the budget optimization strategy that was not achieved in quarter one, and you are correct. That specific strategy is to drive the financial side of the organizational strategy, and it was aimed at budget optimization. So the budget optimization question was, if we say our budget in totality is 1.4 billion, is the value that you are getting as SA Tourism based on the work that you're doing 1.4 billion and more? So that was the first question that we seek to answer with the strategy. And the second one was that, how do you then begin to generate revenue so as to enhance the current amount that you have? And I know that what we're looking at, and maybe I speak because we are already trying to catch up with the non-achievement of the target, is that how do we then use the current platforms that we have to generate additional revenue? So it's unfortunate that we did not meet the target at quarter one, because it does inform a lot of financial allocation for the rest of the financial year. And because of this importance, what we've done is that we've then said we need to fast track the meeting of the target. So whether or not there were issues around scoping and everything else that has been attributed to us not meeting that target, I think it's very clear for myself and especially the finance team that we get this done, because it's got an impact on our operation. Chair, I'll ask the head of analytics just to touch on the tourism information survey. And then there was a question, I've already touched on it, on the overspending per target. Chair, you also asked, why was South African tourism not visible? So the whole question around visibility at the World Cup. I think what's key for me is that we have two contracts that are over 4 million, and part of the rise from there was to drive, or the objectives at the time of signing the contract was to drive the visibility. I think the challenge that we've had internally as an organization is that what is then the ROI on the specific contract so that we can drive that visibility. But then to your point, maybe let me address your question specifically on visibility. We also spent, in addition to the two contracts, so in addition to the 8 million rand, we spent about 7.7 million at the beginning of the Rugby World Cup, and that was to drive visibility. I think where I had concerns, and I the team can talk to it, is when we needed to spend more money just to trigger the plans that are linked to the contract. So I think there might be a more prudent way of doing it, especially dealing with the fact that we've got limited financial resources. I know the contracts are not ending with the Rugby World Cup, so there are opportunities to even showcase South Africa internally. We had the conversation with the CMO that maybe we
can use it in a better way where the money is spent in South Africa and I can carry forex outside of South Africa. But the key thing is that the 107.7 million that was spent at the beginning of the Rugby World Cup that was linked to visibility. I think I'll pause here and just allow my colleagues to take other questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe if I just speak to, there was a question around the emphasis around the repeat mistakes or errors in reporting that came from Honorable De Freitas. Maybe just to assure the committee that I think the Minister has pointed out, in a lot of the areas that we identified in quarter one, and we put in mitigations and the matters have been fixed in quarter two. Without going into quarter two, we've just looked at the preliminary results, and from the 74% of last quarter one, there is a significant improvement in quarter two, but we will bring that when we bring that into the organization, into the committee meeting. And obviously what we're trying to do is to make sure that we continue with the training within the organization and putting new processes and business reviews to try and figure out and implement some kind of change management in terms of the reporting itself. So the planning team has done a lot of work training and retraining within the organization, because the members will note that there's a lot of areas where perhaps the POE, the evidence submitted, might not match 100% to the TID, which then gets reflected as not achieved. So the matter that we've seen improvements in quarter two, but we continue to deal with that matter. If I may just add, the Minister spoke about the fact that we need a plan around the people with disability. It is exactly what we have spent time working on. The entity is implementing disability learnerships, convening disability awareness sessions to encourage people internally to disclose, and also conducting a readiness assessment and gap analysis, because what we've noted as well is the fact that the organization has to be receptive to the disability sector itself. So we're doing that work, which unfortunately, we noted that the target came before the assessment. So that is just to give comfort to the members that there's a lot of work in the background that we are doing. And when the moratorium is fully lifted and we are able to start recruiting, and some of those areas will be able to be put in place. We've also approached the Disability Association of South Africa so that we can be assisted as well in terms of perhaps how do we reword maybe our adverts so that they can start to speak to that. On the issue of the corporate brand index, the matter that was raised was the fact that perhaps there might be poor planning. We note the concern of the committee. We have noted the fact that corporate index target is linked to external stakeholders, you know, provincial authorities, you know, the private sector itself, and we are continuously trying to see how we can better plan and put our meetings in such a way that they don't get cancelled, but what we are suffering from a reality of, you know, meetings and sessions that sometimes get cancelled based on what is happening at the time. But we take note from the committee and the concerns, and we will endeavour to improve on that. I will hand over to the head of marketing, CMO, to speak on the Rugby World Cup and the other marketing matters there.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair and members. To speak about the exposure on Rugby World Cup, I just want to clarify that there's no partnership between South African tourism and the Rugby World Cup, and the rights are quite locked down in that space with regards to that entity. As the ACO has referred, the contract we have in place does go on past this term, and in fact is until June next year. We have time to leverage, and in fact a very wonderful message was dropped into the final speeches by the rugby captain, Sir Felici, inviting people to come to South Africa, and that messaging is now going to ramp up as he has got more opportunity. There are quite a few restrictions also from a rugby perspective in terms of players focusing on the game during the duration of the World Cup, and they're encouraged to focus on the game and not commercial commitments. And now that we're out of that and his audience has grown significantly, we're looking to continue with that in the very short space of time. So there is work happening there and great media that's going to come out of that. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Chair. We'll pause here and take further questions or clarity, if any.
Yeah. Honourable members, we are a few minutes. I'm going to allow follow-up questions, if there's any follow-up questions. But the point which I want to make, Minister, is that there's a thin line between visibility and rents and cents that are spent. Now, I have a problem here with the CFO. When she responds, she's always defensive, instead of responding with understanding of the question itself. When we speak of visibility of South Africa globally, and rugby being a case in point, that response alone, which begins to say, at the beginning of the Rugby World Cup, we spend about 7.7 million, it doesn't arrive at all. Because the follow-up question would be, so you decided not to, disengage, because towards the end, where there was burning, you know, attention, and very, you know, concise one, even to some of us who are not even rugby fanatics, we were at the height of, you know, wanting to see what next, and that stadium there, people were looking as if it was Orlando Stadium. And some of these people are residents of France or Europe in particular. But towards the end, we decided to, you know, disengage on the visibility of our country, which is the core mandate of this entity, by the way. And South Africa did not do anything. That one is bad news. That's why we always feel that it must be under tourism so that they are able to understand their mandate. And now you've got your CEO
that wants to equate visibility to runs and cents, and that was not the case, because visibility is visibility. It's a core mandate of the NGT. The issue of the contracts were less interested. What we want is visibility of our country. It's December now. Big holidays are coming. How much are we expecting people that might be attracted to our country during all these World Cups? Because the World Cups are not limited to rugby. As I mentioned, Proteas, they are playing. And the president made a commitment to say, if you win, I'm coming to lift that trophy with you. What does that tell you as a bureaucrat now? Speak to the importance of having visitors in our country, because tourism is one thing that is expected to contribute immensely to the GDP of our country. And you are failing the country in that aspect. And then you come here, you want to justify things that do not arise. I'm not sure. Mamukomba, follow up, Honorable Matumba, the two of you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think I would like to also agree with the view of the Chair to say that that was an opportunity, I want to say also, that was an opportunity to market South Africa. You don't have to have a contract with the rugby, but that was, you know, those spectators, those television viewers themselves, those are the people that would like to know more about South Africa, since there is a club or a team from South Africa playing at that time. So it was a very open market and an opportunity for South Africa to be well marketed without any lot of energy put into putting people in one ground like that soccer, what is it, rugby stadium. You know, that full, you know, I cry for those millions that we did not actually take advantage of as South Africa to market our beautiful country. It can be in different ways, you know, those billboards, those things that are running with the flies of electricity inside the stadium. I don't know how to explain it, you know them better. I will lost that opportunity, I want to say, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I have also a very serious concern here. I think the acting CFO should be understanding exactly where they spend money or overspend money. The type of the budgeting system which is required for the SAT to use. And, you know, my question here, Honorable Chair, is about the system which they are using. Are you on the zero-based budget or accrual budget? Since you spoke about the accrual budget of 40% of the total income from APPs. You know, it brings me back to want to understand your method of implementing your budget versus your budgeting system. That's a very good question I want to ask, Honorable Chair. I know it's good, it's a good question, because it will come out with a lot of systems and the failure to implement the type of budget which they chose to use as a department. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. You know, I saw a video of a certain old woman. She was even praying, in the name of Jesus, when the ball is going on our side, put him in the, she doesn't even know what is happening, but what she knows is that Jesus must make sure the ball doesn't go on South Africa's side. So it is showing us how committed South Africans were in this World Cup. If people who know absolutely nothing about rugby were watching rugby and even praying, but you know, the acting CFO, CEO must be transparent to the committee about what really transpired, because the question that will come is, did you approve for the activation in the Rugby World Cup? Did you have your team there for activation? If you didn't have, why not? Because you were supposed to be having a team there. Did you activate? Because you have existing contracts with suppliers for activating. You even have your team that was supposed to be there monitoring. Chair, you brought something into the picture of research. Why rely on Stats SA? The question of chair, I will understand that it's coming from the amount of money that your department spend on tourism, research, policy, and international relations. I mean, I think Quota 1, it was around 600 million. Why spend so many millions and still go on Stats SA to look for numbers when you are spending a lot of money in research? Even in this report, in page 44, it's showing that you spent, I think it's 6% on research. Now, why rely on Stats SA? And the other thing is that your research, it must be tailor-made for you, because there are some of the things that Stats SA will not research to the satisfaction of your site. Now, there was a question by the Whip, Honorable McCovey. You know, when she was asking on the short period of acting as CEO, it's coming from when? The last board, what they did was to cut and chop when it comes to the position of CEO. So we see the same thing happening. You have Mzilikazi acting tomorrow, you come to the meeting, he's no longer acting. Tomorrow you come back, he's back into acting. So we see them doing exactly that. They're doing what their predecessors were doing. So we don't see any value that they are adding. And the other thing is, it's also always whistleblowers this, whistleblowers that, when we can see that this has nothing to do with whistleblower, but the man is investigating for himself on who really did what. The other thing is on meetings. We're told we had four meetings which were induction. Evan, what kind of induction that takes four meetings to induct people in such a, I mean, even us members of parliament when we were inducted, they were not inducted in parliament, we were inducted separately. The issue of induction doesn't require a meeting, it requires a workshop where you are inducted and that's it. So you can't say we had four board meetings which were for induction. Board meeting is for running the organization and taking decisions. So that thing of inductions, I don't get it. I'm happy, Chair, that you called it into order in time, the previous month account. I mean, what's that to say? She was acting there and then she must account. It means even the minister then will tell us, no, Lindi Wesesulu must come and answer here because she was the one who was here. So it doesn't work like that. Once you take a position, you must account for the position. And lastly, Chair, can we please get who attended meetings and who didn't attend? Because it seems like we have three people who were appointed to take care of the board, and they're not really attending anything. For example, you have Mr. Mutambo. He came and slept here the last time, and from there he never came. So can we please get the who's attending and who's not attending, so that we can do proper oversight? Thank you.
Uh, Minister, before you respond with your team, there's something which is raised here, that the rights were locked down, or rights are locked down, and there's no relationship between SARU and SET. The question is from the Chief Marketing Officer. Did you ask the minister to unlock that which is locked? Because my belief is that there is intergovernmental relations that have been there over time at the level of government and the executive. Now, if South African tourism is unable to get through SARU, the minister should know better, or is better placed to unlock and force relations between these two entities. Did you ask the minister to unlock the lockdown? Because I thought that the lockdown was in, you know, during COVID. And there's a tendency with SAT, which I have noticed, that where the challenges, the minister is not appraised with the challenges, or the minister wouldn't know that there's certain systems in place to assist the entity. And that is, you know what, it will not help this entity. Because none of you would go to the Minister of Sports and say, unlock here. It will never happen. If it's not a letter from a ministry straight to SAT, it's this thing of the lockdowns, and we are not involving the minister, let alone the DG. Because these other DGs, when they write direct to you. And who are you to accept such letters? Who are you? Because it is not within the protocols, and now we are sitting with lockdowns. After this meeting, you must just switch on your DSTVs if you have them on the phone. Or Tambo International Airport is on its knees. Three levels of that airport is a stampede. People are unable to walk. Where is the tourism? No. Sia is wearing the flag of this country because Sia is the man of the moment, internationally recognized as a leader. That is leading the entire sport, by the way, in South Africa, Minister. If you have noticed there, during World Cup, Sia was there to support the boys. When tennis was playing there, he went there physically to give that gentleman, forgot the name, the t-shirt which is in our colors, when he was supposed to wear a white t-shirt. But he went there and gave that gentleman a t-shirt, a proud moment, and the entire stadium was on its knees when Sia did that. That very moment was a moment for us to sell our country and the humility that we have, and the ability of South Africans to unite where it matters the most. Where was South African tourism? Nowhere to be found. Because your inability to involve the minister where it matters the most is zero. Zero. I know if it was the predecessor of this minister here, would have been on your knees already. But that one was not playing. You knew it. I'm not sure whether you are taking chances or what is it that you wish to achieve with all these things that you are doing in this entity. Because there's nothing that you can do. The key to unlock the lockdown is this minister. If we are unable to send a message through the board as a conveyor belt, I think that's Lee, yeah. You can access the minister truly to say that there's this lockdown. Can the minister unlock the lockdown if the board is unable to be your conveyor belt? You are still within the protocols if you're doing that. So I'm not sure if with this attitude, this tourism will be a contributing factor as it is supposed to be to our country. I don't know. I will allow your responses and then we release you so that we continue with the business of the portfolio committee.
Minister. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Let me start with the apology. You are right that on the 5th of September, you wrote to me requesting the information about the board. I received the information from the board on the 12th of September, and then I failed to forward it to the Honourable Chairperson and the committee members. So my apology for this, I'm going to update it, and then by the end of business, I will give it to the chairperson. You see all the stickers here, this was stuck somewhere in my office. I'll sort it out now. A chairperson, there's two things. I do think there's a need for us to bring to the portfolio committee the whole... the whole issue around the Springbok contract, where it started, where it was started by SAT, and that information be shared with the members. I only became involved when I received an invitation from SAT to go to Twickenham. And I said, I can't go to an event unless I know what is the role of SAT, what is the role of SARU here. And that's where I then had access to two contracts. One with SARU as the federation, and the second contract with SIA Kolisi. I then question the wording in the SIA Kolisi contract and in the SARU contract with a DG. There was something in called a bonus. We said in government language, PFMA or whatever, there's no such thing. So we also got a legal advice on that. Now, this was the explanation at the time, was that South African tourism were, they were, the way they got involved with the whole World Rugby World Cup is by hooking onto the rugby team. And they could only do that in Twickenham, because the rights for advertising at the World Cup is different. So the two contracts signed with SARU, the 7.7 million to activate that campaign was done in Twickenham at the friendly match between the Springboks and the All Blacks. And I think that is where members saw at the end of the game there was this long visit South Africa, and that's where it ended. There was no further program for PEL. I also want to understand this a bit better, and I've asked internal audit through the board to please look into how this whole thing around SARU was structured. My own observation was that the exco of SAT has got a mandate to spend up to 10 million. And in this case, the whole SARU initiative was broken down into 4 million, 4 million and then 7.7 million, but it's still the same relevance and the same event. I then contacted Minister Zizi Kodwa, and I said, Minister, are you aware about the arrangement between SAT and SARU? And, well, Minister Kodwa was also not aware, but he did go and get some information and said that, and I agreed, let us allow the World Cup to get finished. We don't want any questions in the media about this. We want the Springboks to win and concentrate. So I have got a meeting scheduled with Minister Kodwa now after the World Cup to look into it. But what I was informed by SAT is that no other tourism authority or anybody around the world were allowed to have rights to do any advertisement at the World Cup itself. There it's ruled by the World Cup body. And I think that is what SAT is explaining, that we were not allowed in any case to do anything there. But I hear what a chairperson is saying, and there were thousands of South Africans there too, and they really all represented us well. But my proposal is that let's look at holistically, chairperson, with all of the information, and then the committee can then ask further questions there. I have just discussed with the DG that we're going to call SAT to give us a presentation on this tracking of information system, what do they want to achieve, and once we get some more information from SAT, we can bring it back to the committee. Now, I just want to remind members, and agree with the chairperson, you take a position with the baggage. But there's a difference in how you deal with the baggage. The baggage that we have inherited, you find that for 18 months, in some cases more than 18 months, people were just acting in those positions. We said, no, this is going to stop. No longer will people be acting for that long period. Acting this and acting this. And that's why we started the process of recruitment. And so these acting positions must all come to an end by the end of November. And that's the difference between us and the predecessor. And the committee can hold us to account to it. You know, the 7 months in this portfolio of chapters, I've learned such a lot from the executives of SAT. You are right, we are working on improving communication. I gave the example of the BRICS summit the other day. There was no communication with the department. And we spent 6.1 million there. When AGOA started, I decided from the beginning, I phoned Minister Patel and I spoke to him. I said, if you want any help from the department with the hosting of the AGOA summit now from the 1st to the 4th, you will write to the DG, which they did, and said we must just select tourist attraction to take the representatives to. But you also correct, Chair, then a letter from the DG of DTIC went directly to the acting CEO in SAT. And what we agreed on in the Interministerial Committee and with the DG was extra over and above what we were supposed to do. We were being able to stop that. So we're not going to waste a lot of money on AGOA, but we are still part of the Interministerial Committee. And I have reached out to the Exco of SAT, but I think Chairperson, 7 months is enough now. We are settled in, we respect each other, and I promise that I will do a lot more to work on that relationship. Because I said to the DG, we sent a letter to all the ministers that if you need any help from SAT, you must come via the DG and the minister.
the policy of SAT needs to be looked at. And like Jefferson was saying, we've got a number of national teams. There's Banyana Banyana, there's Bafana Bafana, there's the Springboks, there's the Netball. And we maybe need to adopt our policy that we deal with all our national teams. And that is the memorandum of agreement that I will seek with the Minister Dizzy Kodwa, that we've got an agreement that as SAT and the Department of Tourism, we can let on to all of these international events and national teams, and then we won't be able to miss it instead of just selecting rugby, because the amount of money that we spend on the rugby is far less than what we spend on netball. But there was also Banyana Banyana who was playing, and even now they're going to the qualifiers for the Olympics. So we need to be proactive and let on to the sporting events. We've seen how proud the Springboks has made us. So Jefferson, I will stop there and give the committee the assurance that we will prepare everything for you. We bring the contract. Hopefully I can report of my meeting with Minister Kodwa when we come back to you on the rough issues.
Oh yes, did you just need to make one point about the finances?
Thank you, Minister. Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, I just wanted to provide clarity on the expenditure cited by Honourable Matumba of 600 million rands from Programme 2. That is inclusive, Honourable Chairperson, of the 586 million, 683,000 rand, which was transferred to SAT. It is within that particular programme. So the expenditure from the department in that regard would be something slightly above 10 million for that particular period. But I thought, let me just clarify this so that the record does not reflect that sort of expenditure in the program, which would be inclusive of the initial transfer that had already been done. And then, Minister, on the issue of persons with disability in the department, the target is 3%, but the actual number of people that are there is 21 people that constitute 4.4%.
Thank you.
I agree with the minister has said it's 3%, so we just make sure that
okay. Honourable members, is there any other response? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. There was one other that we haven't addressed yet around budgeting, what system do we use. What we used for budgeting is zero-based budgeting, and it's aligned to Treasury guidelines. When I was talking about accruals, that's linked to when we account for actual revenue and actual expenditure, because we use an accounting standard, which is GRAP for South African Tourism. So GRAP says you have to accrue. It's not based on cash flow. So accruals are based, are linked to actual, but the budgeting system is zero-based, which is aligned to Treasury guidelines. Thank you, Chair.
You must have DSTV in your phone. I've got DSTV in my phone, I'm on Instagram, I follow these things. So in between responses, when you see that TV, you'll understand how much we've missed in terms of advertising and marketing, but we are not there. There is responses to the questions of honorable members, I must say, ministers, they triggered many questions today, because, for instance, if you, before you do a prepayment, when you have a contract with a certain entity, and that it must be approved, you get an approval before you do that, then the question that arises is that on the dome, the AG has a finding, and there was a prepayment. That's the reason why they are not against the dome, but they are against a prepayment which was not on the contract of these people that purchased the dome for the entity. And today we are receiving a response that says that it's a pre-approval or an approval to a prepayment. Why was that not applied on this particular issue, which has a finding from the Auditor General, but we are not there? Perhaps you say you are going to require a response on another day. The Minister has committed that we are going to receive a report on the board meetings and the compensation and what have you to date, and that will be submitted by the end of business today. The Portfolio Committee is of the view, Minister, that the moratorium be lifted to ensure that the issue of the contravention with the Employment Equity Act is addressed, particularly on the people living with disabilities. That is very crucial to be addressed. You are happy and comfortable with what the department has achieved. All of us who are happy is the Portfolio Committee. The only thing that we need from the department is the 4% that is making the massive 100. And their reports are consistent with the AG's findings. There is no discrepancies between the two. We can't say the same thing with South African tourism. The minister is committing that with the DG, they will meet SAT to ascertain their objectives on the tourism information tracking survey, a new program which is visibly a stillborn as things stand. So State SA remains a viable source of information for our country, and as SAT has been reiterating this particular fact, so we are not clear about the diversion. So that meeting of the DG and the minister is going to assist us. We know the fragmentation in terms of the marketing, and it is visibly glaring. The competition between the private sector and SAT on issues of marketing is something that needs to be addressed, and the minister is committing that he is in a process of engaging the private sector on this. Because, for instance, minister, if you go on Instagram, you will find a Visit Cape Town link there. And on the other hand, you've got South African tourism that has visited South Africa. There's some sort of plagiarism generally that is going on in the level of the marketing. So that is speaking exactly to that fragmentation that you are mitigating, hoping that you will be able to do that. The report on SARU is going to be presented before the Portfolio Committee, and we are saying on this, Minister, it should be treated as a closed meeting, because such report, they've got the potential of finding themselves in the media domain, and they compromise everything. And it is not about an individual, but about the entity itself, where there is supposed to be intergovernmental relations and working relations. We need to enforce that as a portfolio committee. We also need to have a report,
minister on the SIU preliminary report on all the investigations that are conducted at SAT, and that meeting will be a closed session. I know we have a closed session coming up with the department on other reports, your forensic reports and what have you, because these are information that needs to be managed so that we have we manage the leakages that might arise. The minister says that we need to look at the policy of South African tourism wherein both SAT and the National Department can partner with all the national teams and utilize the platform globally to showcase and for the betterment of the country in itself, because tourism department was created for that, and this particular portfolio is supposed to be contributing immensely to the GDP of our country, and we've lost so many opportunities as things stand, and we need to close gaps because it is important that we utilize those platforms throughout, and that can be done through different MOUs, whether it's an MOU between sports and tourism departments vis-a-vis. Yeah, you know, you see there, we need prayers. Perhaps now that they change the colors of their blouses, you know, I mean their jerseys, perhaps will win, you know. Yes, even Bafana, you know. On the other hand, we can't say the same because there's a lot, and we've been learning a lot from the rapid team. They are just a bunch of lovers. They love one another in that team. You can't fault them in that. Perhaps that's why they are surviving. It's a very, you know, one big family that is so committed to the country. So those are the deliberations, honorable members of our portfolio committee on tourism today. And I want to reiterate the point that, Minister, you must enforce the protocols, because none of these people must speak after you've spoken when you are responding to issues. They must deal with administrative matters, because in some of the responses that you might submit to the portfolio committee might be political statements, because you are there as a politician in the executive and as members of parliament, as Honorable Matuma said, we are politicians. But yet there in the end, you submit your CV, Khalima does not play before you are deployed. You want to see your CV, Honorable Matumba, you don't. But don't go strutting there. We might have track record, you know. So, in a nutshell, we do acknowledge the slight improvement on SAT, but the overspending is glaring, and it was also highlighted by the Auditor General. It's something that we can't turn a blind eye on. There has to be systems in place. You can't have overspending, especially on human capital, when you have 14% of vacancy rate. It doesn't make sense. So you got to do something about that. These are the things that we don't want to see next time when you come to present to the portfolio committee. And on that note, the minister can watch the TV and be heartbroken. Or Tambo International Airport is on standstill. It's like, you know, it's disaster there. So everyone wants to see the Springboks. And that alone, when you turn on CNN and all these international media platforms, your BBC, you are going to see it. So
So you are released. Thank you very much, DG. When you come back, we want our 4%. And please, we need that 4%. Our meeting is going to continue from here. Thank you very much.